First Samuel chapter 3 verse 1 all the way to chapter 4, the first part of verse 1. This is the reading of God's word. Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord before Eli, and word from the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were infrequent. It happened at that time as Eli was lying down in his place. Now his eyesight had begun to grow dim, and he could not see well. And the lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was, that the Lord called Samuel, and he said, "Here I am." Then he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call. Lie down again." So he went and lay down. The Lord called yet again, "Samuel." So Samuel rose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he answered, "I did not call, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, nor had the word of the Lord yet been revealed to him. So the Lord called Samuel again for the third time. And he rose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." Then Eli discerned that the Lord was calling the boy. And Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down, and it shall be if he calls you that you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Then the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." The Lord said to Samuel, "Behold, I am about to do a thing in Israel at which both ears of everyone who hears it will tingle. In that day I will carry out against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. For I have told him that I am about to judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knew, because his sons brought a curse on themselves, and he did not rebuke them. Therefore I have sworn to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be atoned for by sacrifice or offering forever." So Samuel lay down until morning. Then he opened the doors of the house of the Lord, but Samuel was afraid to tell the vision to Eli. Then Eli called Samuel and said, "Samuel, my son." And he said, "Here I am." He said, "What is the word that he spoke to you? Please do not hide it from me. May God do so to you and more also, if you hide anything from me of all the words that he spoke to you." So Samuel told him everything and hold nothing from him. And he said, "It is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him." Thus Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and let none of his word fail. All Israel, from Dan even to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was confirmed as a prophet of the Lord, and the Lord appeared again at Shiloh, because the Lord revealed himself to Samuel at Shiloh by the word of the Lord. Thus the word of Samuel came to all Israel. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious time of hearing of your word. Oh Father, grant us an ear to hear your word, and that your word, as we hear, will work in our lives and make us more and more like Christ, your Son, our Lord and God. And Father, without your Spirit's work in us, we have no ability to believe and obey. Thus, we completely depend upon you. And by the work of your Spirit, with your word, Let us be more and more like your Son and living that life, that glorious life that you have given us in Jesus Christ to bring glory and honor to you. Receive all the glory and pour out your blessings upon your people. We thank you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let us continue then, looking at this chapter, chapter 3 of 1 Samuel. The New Testament calls the eternal salvation that our Lord Jesus Christ has accomplished as the new creation. Thus, you and I who have been saved are the new creation. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature." Or, NIV has it, "a new creation. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come." We see this from the very beginning. In God's creation, in Genesis chapter 1. Creation is from the chaos to the perfect order. It is from the darkness to the light. And the new creation is the same. It is from sin to the perfect righteousness, from death to the eternal life, from the judgment to the eternal blessings of heaven, from this world to the other world, heaven, from Satan to God. And this is what we see in this chapter, chapter 3 of 1 Samuel. From the story of God calling Samuel, we see the new creation. Last time, we saw the transition from the Old Testament to the New Testament, from the transition from Eli to Samuel. Today, we will look at the same in terms of the new creation. Transition from Eli to Samuel, in terms of the transition from the darkness to the light, new creation. Verse 1 says, "Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord before Eli. And word from the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were infrequent." Now, this is how our chapter begins. Look at what is happening at that time. The word from the Lord was rare. No word of God. If we read Psalm 119, verse 105, it says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." So the word is compared to the light. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19 through 21. "So we have the prophetic word made more sure, to which you do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star arises in your hearts. But know this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God." So here again, God's word is what? God's word is the lamp shining in dark place. God's word is the light, the morning star. Then, the state in which the word of God is rare is the state of darkness. The sinful state is the state of darkness. And you have to really understand, how does the creation begin in Genesis? It's darkness. And God says, let there be light. His word is given. And that's how creation begins. But here in verse 1, there is no God's word. God's word is rare. It's a state of darkness. It is the state in which the light has not yet come. It is like Jesus not being there, because Jesus is the Word and He is the light. First chapter of John. Let me read you a few places there. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 4. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Verse 9, there was the true light, which, coming into the world, enlightens every man. Thus the Eli period points to the state of darkness. And Amos, in Amos chapter 8, describes the state in which the word of God being rare as the state of famine. No food to eat. Because Jesus is the true manna, He's the true food, and He is the word. And man does not live on bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So no word of God means no light and no spiritual food. So it is compared as the state of darkness and state of famine. We do not live by bread of this world. We live by God's word. And Jesus gives us the Holy Spirit, and Holy Spirit illumines His Word so that we may understand and believe. Thus, we who have the Holy Spirit never suffer the spiritual famine. Thus, in Jesus Christ, for us who have the Holy Spirit living in us, we'll never live in a period in which the Word of God is rare any longer. The new creation has been accomplished. The light has been given to us. The darkness is no more. Never again. Yes, in Jesus Christ, you and I have been transferred from the darkness to the eternal light. And that reality, this transition from darkness to light, the new creation, that reality is shown in the chapter 3 of 1 Samuel as we see the transition from Eli to Samuel. From God's word being rare in chapter 3, verse 1, to the abundance of the word of God in chapter 3, verse 21, and the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, because the Lord revealed himself to Samuel at Shiloh by the word of the Lord. Thus the word of Samuel came to all Israel. Do you see it? Darkness to light. God's word being rare, no God's word, to the abundance of God's word. We see this pattern throughout the whole chapter. The story in chapter 3 begins at nighttime. It is the night in verse 2. But after God calls Samuel in verse 15, it is the morning. Light shines at the end. In verse 2, we see Eli's eyesight growing dim, and he could not see well. Again, eyesight dim. He is practically a blind. Darkness. It reflects the fact that the word of God is rare at the time. It is not just because he is getting old. Because you already know what God has said, what will happen to Eli and his house. Chapter 2, verse 31. Behold, the days are coming when I will break your strength and the strength of your father's house, so that there will not be an old man in your house. Verse 33. Yet I will not cut off every man of yours from my altar, so that your eyes will fail from weeping and your soul grieve, and all the increase of your house will die in the prime of life. Do you see it then? It is the judgment of God. Decreation, if you will. Creation is what? From darkness to light. Opposite of that is decreation, which is God's judgment, light to darkness. So when Jesus returns, this whole universe as you see it, it will be decreated. And that is the state of Eli. It's not that he's just old. Deuteronomy chapter 34, verse 7 says, although Moses was 120 years old when he died, his eyes was not dim, nor his vigor abated. So here in our story, the state of Eli reflects the spiritual state of the time. So Eli is a picture of the darkness, picture of no word of God. Until God says his word, let there be light, is darkness. No word of God means darkness. It is a picture of a blind. It is a picture of the fallen state, fallen in sin. Isaiah 59, verse 9 and 10, therefore, justice is far from us, and righteousness does not overtake us. We hope for light, but behold darkness, for brightness, but we walk in gloom. We grope along the wall like blind men. We grope like those who have no eyes. We stumble at midday as in the twilight. Among those who are vigorous, we are like dead men. So Isaiah describes a sinful state of man as a blind, not able to see. This is the beginning of our chapter. But God does not leave everything at that state. Verse 3a, the lamp of God had not yet gone out. Not a total, complete destruction, but a hope is still burning. And here in verse 3, we see the ark of God and the lamp of God. We see in them the presence of the covenantal God being with his people. Now the word of God is given to his people through Samuel, and with it the blessings of God. The darkness is passing. The morning comes, and the doors of the temple are wide open, and the light chases the darkness away. In other words, the word of God is given. We saw the transition from Eli to Samuel as transition from Old Testament to New Testament. And we are looking at that same transition in terms of new creation. What happens in the beginning of the New Testament? Jesus is given. He's the Word. The Word is given. And that reality is seen as a typological way in our chapter. By the word of God. Let's go to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. I read to you from verse 2. This is what happens in the beginning. The earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the water. Then God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. New creation is the same way. If you go to Jeremiah chapter 4, and if you do a membership class with me, we go through this. Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 22. It says, "For my people are foolish. They know me not. They are stupid children and have no understanding. They are shrewd to do evil, but to do good they do not know. I looked on the earth, and behold, it was formless and void, and to the heavens, and they had no light." Here, Jeremiah is not looking at physical world before the creation. Here, Jeremiah is looking at the sinful state of Israel. But look at how Jeremiah describes the spiritual darkness, spiritual state, the sinful state of Israel. Jeremiah uses the same word that you will find, same words that you will find in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. Formless and void and darkness. We read John chapter 1 already. Jesus, who is the light, comes to this sinful world. He comes as the light to this darkness and shines his light. That is how the new creation begins. Jesus comes to dark world as the light. The darkness is passing. The night is passing. The morning comes. The light comes. And you and I, who used to belong to the darkness, are now being transferred to the light. Just like the creation is by the word of God, the new creation is also by the word of God. It's by Jesus Christ, who is the word. It's by the word of God. That's why church has to preach and teach the word of God. That is God's way in recreation or new creation. It's by the word. But the world doesn't comprehend it. When the light shines into the darkness, darkness hates the light. They don't like the word. But this was always the case. In the wilderness, Israelites, they hate manna. They hate it. But manna was pointing to the true manna, Jesus Christ, the word. Just like it today, so many so-called Christians, they don't like the word of God. They love the worldly experiences. The fake spiritual experiences. But they hate the manna. They don't want to hear the word. They don't want to study the word. But they want to experience this fake spiritual experience without even knowing what the word of God says. But you have to understand, brothers and sisters, the new creation is by the word. First Samuel chapter 3 is all about the word of God. The word, dabar in Hebrew, which means the word, is all over the chapter. If you read it, verses 1, 7, 9, 10, 11, 12, 17, 18, 19, 21, verse 1 of chapter 4, Dabar appears. God's word is given. The new creation, the new beginning has begun. Thus, in our chapter, the new creation is shown in a typological way. From the darkness to the light. From the children of darkness to the children of light. In terms of what we are seeing in 1 Samuel chapter 3, the word of God is given. Thus, Jesus is given. Isaiah chapter 9 verse 2, the people who walk in darkness will see a great light. Those who live in a dark land, the light will shine on them. Colossians chapter 1 verse 13, for he rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved son. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Matthew 5 verse 14a, you are the light of the world. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 8, for you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. The light being shining, we could describe that reality in many ways, but one way is the giving of the word of God. You have to understand how brightly God shines the light to you. His word is given to you. In you there is no darkness because the word of God is given to you. Second Corinthians chapter 4. Second Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 6. For God who said, light shall shine out of darkness, the same God in Genesis chapter 1, let there be light, God who said that, is the one who has shown his in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. Just like the world before, let there be light. Just like the Old Testament Israel sinful state. You were darkness. But the light of God has shone in your hearts. The glory of God shines in you. The Holy Spirit lives in you. He gives you the word of God. He gives you, Jesus Christ. He's the light. See, don't misunderstand. It's not some mystical experience. It's not one day you see some strange light. It's when you hear the word of God. The word of God is the light. Because Jesus is the word and Jesus is the light. This is what happened to you. You see the whole of your life in this chapter, from darkness to the light. This is your life story. Darkness to light. And what did accomplish this transition? God's word. The Holy Spirit working in and through the Word of God. We too were once belonged to the darkness like the period of Eli. But the true light has been shown in us. The Word of God has been given to us. The glory of our eternal God is shown in us. God's smiling face shines on you. And that is what heaven is all about. Revelation 21 verse 23, the city, heaven, has no need of the sun or of the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God has illumined it, and its lamp is the Lamb. Revelation 22 verse 5, and there will no longer be any night, and they will not have need of the light of a lamp, nor the light of the sun, because the Lord God was, or Lord God will illumine them. Even as you gather unto God to worship God, do you see how God shines the light on you? The fullness of the light is shining upon you. Jesus is the light. And He lives in you. No more darkness. You will never go back to a period of Eli. And if you are truly Christian, you already have been transferred from the darkness to the light. But only for true Christians. This world is still dark, very dark. Even though Jesus came, the light came, they don't receive Him. And John says, why they hate light? Because if they come to light, then their filth will be revealed. So filthy. So sinful. And when they come out to the light, then all that will be revealed. But you and I, we come to the light even though we know that all that filth will be revealed. Because we come fully knowing that our filth is revealed, but that Jesus Christ has died for our sins and His blood has cleansed all that filth. So that we come to the light, so that the light will receive the glory. God shining on you, this is already our spiritual reality. No more darkness, no more God's word being rare. Man, the fullness of God's word is given to you. You could always come to the Word. It's always at your hand. And Holy Spirit always lives in you. He illumines you. God's Word and you cannot be separated anymore. This is your spiritual reality. Now, some of you, because of your sinfulness, live as if there's still darkness remaining for you. But that's your laziness and sin. It's not because God did not shine His fullness of glory to you. Realize how blessed we are in Jesus Christ. Even Samuel's time is just typologically a period of shining God's glory. But we don't live in a typological period. We live in reality. Jesus came and He shines His light on you. He shines on us now and forever and ever. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is the new creation. The old things passed away. Behold, the new things have come. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You. You are good to us. We thank You for coming to us, we who were formerly darkness. We thank You for shining the brightness, the light, the eternal light in our hearts, so that we may be able to see Jesus Christ, the true light. Oh Father, who were once blind, but now we see. And we are now able to see. And that sight is given for no other reason than to see Jesus Christ, the glory of God. We thank you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.